Blog Talk Radio.
My God is awesome. What a blessed evening this is. I want to welcome you to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm praying that this is a good day for you and that things are going just the way you'd want them to go. This is a great day for me. I'm always talking about the weather in the District of Columbia. Frequently, we are in the heat of the summer, but well before summer gets here. So this is a lovely spring day. Again, a bit warm, but a lovely spring day. And so we welcome you to Rev Up with Reverend Alethea, and I am Alethea Smith-Withers, the pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. Tonight we have another interesting show, so listen and be inspired. Take text a few of your friends who are parents or who are advocates for children, and let them know that we're talking with Otha Thornton, president of the National PTA this evening. He is in the know and has found creative and effective ways to take care of business when it comes to our schools and our children. So you want to be on top of this show this evening and enter the dialogue with me. If you're a first-time listener, a special welcome to you. I invite you to tune in on a regular basis. And as you listen, you can turn your work time and play time and leisure time into an opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. The Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show is a Keeping It Real show about life. I minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life. This show is a safe place to talk about everything from pop culture to politics. I want you to follow the show because there are times when we have shows that are not on Tuesday evenings, shows that are special shows that might feature a sermon of mine and or Bible studies from time to time. So follow the show so that you can follow and find out what's going on. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God at 6401 Chilham Place Northwest in Washington, D.C. Our worship begins at 12:30, which gives you enough time to sleep in a little bit on a Sunday morning and still come and hear the Word of God and have an opportunity to praise and worship the Lord. We are a mission possible church. So ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep us from doing those things that serve the Lord and serve God's people. Our Bible study is Thursday evenings at 6:30 p.m., and we not only feed the spirit, we feed the body. We have a great meal. So you can join us for Bible study on Thursdays at 6:30. Now, I really want to encourage you. I know there are so many people who are praying people, and they're looking for an opportunity to pray, and they want to pray in a way that they know they can get a prayer through to the Lord. I want you to know you have that opportunity on Wednesdays at 6 a.m. and 12 noon. We have a prayer line. You can call 605-475-4333, 605-475-4333. Access code is 213-781, 213-781. You can call and share your prayer request, or you can pray a prayer, but we will be praying with you and praying for you. So please consider our prayer line on Wednesday at 6 a.m. and 12 noon. The Pavilion of God, beloved, is a safe place and sacred space. At the Pavilion of God, you can come as you are, your real self. Show up wherever you are, you don't come perfected. You walk in the door and enter a perfecting process with the Lord. You can tweet me at Revelethia. Follow me on Instagram, Revelethia on Instagram, or email Revelethia, revelethia@gmail.com. And like the Pavilion of God on Facebook, and that's where you get a lot of the information about what's happening. You have an opportunity for prayers on Facebook, inspirational words on Facebook. You can even leave a prayer request on the Pavilion of God at Baptist Community on Facebook. Now, you know, most of the country knows about Freddie Gray being shot and killed in Baltimore. The show is originating from Washington, D.C., but this broadcast goes out across the country. And it's something that has riveted the nation on the issue of black males and police violence and just murder within communities of color and the African-American community. Many of you might not know that a 9-year-old child was shot amid violence over this past weekend in Baltimore. Wasn't police violence, but nevertheless a grave concern. The child was an unintentional victim of the shooting, and nearby a man was wounded with a bullet that grazed his head. And then over this weekend, two other shooting victims died after being shot. That makes May in Baltimore the deadliest month since 1999. We need to wake up, and we need to start hearing the real voices of the people. In fact, I'm going to be blessed next week to have a man who is dedicated to hearing the real voices. Curtis Watkins will be on with us next week. He is driving across the country, around the country, in his RV, listening to the real voices of the people. And if you check out realvoicesusa.org, you can read a little bit about real voices and hear some of the voices and see some of the faces he's been speaking to already in Baltimore. So check out the show next week and hear Curtis Watkins as he talks about Real Voices USA. Okay, beloved, let's begin. Let's begin at the beginning where life starts and has its meaning. Let us embrace our Alpha and Omega sacred connection to the divine. So I invite you to open your heart, open your mind, and find your connection to the divine as I pray. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, we thank you for yet another opportunity to say yes, Lord, yes. Yes, we are thankful for all you have done for us, for the seen and unseen blessings of life. For you, O Lord, are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And we thank you, Lord, for being all that you are to us, for being Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals us. We are, Lord, in need of healing in our homes and in our hearts, in our cities and in our citadels. So now, Lord, we're asking that you knit us together so that we can experience your strength in our hands and experience your wholesomeness in the midst of our communities. Enable us to celebrate the new life around us, Lord, from the bright flowers to the birds and the bees, for they are calling us to rejoice, to open our hearts to new energy, new ideas, and new ways of being with one another, and new ways, Lord, of being in relationship with you. Lord, your word says to continue to live in God, rooted and built up in the Lord, strengthened in the faith as you have taught us, overflowing with thankfulness. Our hearts tonight, O God, overflow with thankfulness. we pray this prayer in humility, knowing that we are yours. And it is in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, the lines are lit up, and I want to offer a welcome again to you this evening. I am Reverend Alicia, host of the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show. If you're a first-time listener, welcome again, and I am encouraging you to call in at 347-945-7723 or write your comment or question on the blog, and I will share it with our guests, or you can email your comments or questions to me. Tonight, we are blessed to have Otha Thornton, who is a husband, a father. He is president of the National PTA. Tonight, he speaks out about the importance of engaging males in key educational issues in order to create and support an environment where students are motivated to achieve. Otha Thompson is also the first African American male to be to preside as president of the National PTA. There is so much more I want to say in introducing him. However, I'm going to invite him to join the conversation right now, so in part he can introduce himself to you through his own comments and sharing his passion for the PTA. Otha, good evening and welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show.
Thank you, Sister Alicia. I'm so happy to be here with you and our audience tonight, and I hope that I can share some things with everyone to make a difference. You know, our mission at PTA is to make every child's dream a reality by engaging the families and communities. And it's been a journey here the last couple of years, but we've been working very diligently to, again, make our children's dreams a reality, you know, by providing the opportunities, you know, for a good education and also just opportunities. That's so important. And as you mentioned, speaking, trying to get more men involved in the education of their children, which we've had some success at doing and continuing to work in that direction. So, and I tell people that I never thought one of the most common questions that I'm asked by people is, how did you become the National PTA president? You know, we have about 4 million members in National PTA. It's 118 years old, and basically I have always, when I was a 13-year-old kid, my dad left home, and my mom emphasized the importance of faith, family, and education to us, and, you know, just say, you know, keep God first, you know, always take care and look out for your family and educate your minds. And I think, you know, the Creator, and you know, because of that experience, has helped me to understand and advocate better for children that were in poverty or children that didn't have fathers at home. And but I did have some good men, some good uncles, and that stepped in and really were great role models. You know, as we hear often, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, and so my uncles did that. And with that being said, again, just keeping those three factors in mind, I was blessed to have an opportunity to attend Morehouse in Atlanta and Michigan Tech University in northern Michigan, and spent 21 years in the military. And just that preparation and experience in life has been very critical in me being able to lead PTA. But basically where I got there, my family, we moved from Germany, from military assignment from Germany to Maryland back in 2005, and I went to the first PTA meeting And my wife was assigned to another school than my kids were. And basically, there were seven people at the PTA meeting, but there were 2,000 kids in the school. And
oh, my goodness,
president,
that's huge.
Yeah, and then it was majority African-American and Hispanic school. And the post commander, he had his daughter at that particular school. So when the president asked that, you know, we still needed officers for this school year, the post commander looked at me, and we had never met. He read my name tag, Thornton, and said, "What are we going to do about this?" And I said, "Sir, I just got in country about a month ago." And he said, "What are we going to do about this?" So I tell people I was voluntold. I became the vice president of that high school PTA. So
wow,
basically,
that,
you know. So basically, I got with the president, and you know, being a military person, you know, by order and discipline. So I said,
mm-hmm.
"We need to." I said, "You know, for meetings." I said, "You know, if you're going to have a meeting," and I mean, I was very respectful and graceful with the president, but I just said, meetings should be no more than 1 hour, and it should be an agenda. And
uh-huh.
if you do that, you can attract people to meetings, and you get the business done. And we basically did some media things to help the school. We worked very closely with the principal, which is a PTA position on parents working with the schools to make it successful. And after about 18 months, we moved up to about 400 members. And we had businesses involved in the, you know, bringing businesses to the school, offering jobs and internships for our kids, scholarships, sending their executives in, and
oh,
we received
that is
an
incredible. I mean, no,
yeah.
this was in Georgia,
Maryland. This was in Severn, Maryland, and right
wow.
below Baltimore, about 30 miles from Baltimore. And it just really made a difference. So the president, incoming president, when she asked us how did we do it, she said, I want you on my board. So that started the journey to president. And eventually, after about 6 years, I was selected by the corporation to become president. But, of course, you know, just like the democratic system, someone ran against me and I won and became the president in 2013.
You know, just that, congratulations, because even, I mean, it's such a remarkable story for anyone who has ever gone to a PTA meeting. If you've ever worked with PTA, you would know that what you said about how few were there when you first entered the door, and mm-hmm. and I find it just absolutely mind-blowing that you increased the number in such a short span of time. It, you know, that should be a kind of a formula that can, and I'm sure you've already started to find ways to not only give the information out to other parts of the country and schools that have PTAs on how to do this, but it should give them
mm-hmm.
encouragement, because people are so discouraged when they go
yes,
to a
ma'am.
PTA meeting and they're only a handful of parents, and then the presumption is the others don't care. And that's not really true.
Yes, ma'am. Well,
I'm sure you would say that's not really true.
Well, no, ma'am, there's some encouragement here. We actually do have a formula, and the leaders and communities that recognize it have that growth. We have something called the National Family School Partnership Standards.
Yes.
And we actually have a program called Schools of Excellence, and it's six components to it. And here are things that we work with as leaders, and the leaders that get it, they have that growth. And the number one standard is welcoming families, that your doors are open and families feel welcome and comfortable in your school or in the environment. Number two is that we communicate effectively. You talk with people where they are. You don't talk over their heads. You don't talk beneath them. You communicate effectively. The third one is supporting student success. What are the things you can do in the school to support the student's success? Number four,
mm-hmm.
you speak up for every child. Number six, you share power. And that's a tough one for a lot of people. And the last one is collaborate with your community. But under our School of Excellence program, which we have around the country, we actually, you know, and PTAs around the country can sign up for Schools of Excellence up until October 1st. But basically, in all those areas that I named, we actually have a database with best practices. And when a school goes on to enroll for the School of Excellence program, they basically fill out a survey with their administration jointly, and then based upon the answers they give us, we give them back a role that lays out how they can get the award based upon what they told us.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, you know, I really want you to know, I'm sure the listeners are hearing and experiencing some of the things that I'm hearing and experiencing, because having been out there, not only at PTAs and different supporting ways for schools, but being a pastor where I talk to so many parents, one of the things I hear most is I'm too busy. And I want the audience to hear that Olsen Thornton is a husband, he's a father, you work as a senior operation analyst, you're active in your church. I'm very thankful about
yes,
that.
Ma'am.
You
That's
are
correct.
You're a fraternity man. You are also A Phi A, Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. You
yes,
are
ma'am.
Also a lifetime member of the National Eagle Scout Association, and you've had 25 years of scouting. You're not a person who doesn't have things to do. You have lots of things to do, including parenting your two children.
Yes,
so,
ma'am. Well,
two questions.
My kids
how
are adults now.
Yes,
ma'am.
Where?
I said my kids are adults now, 25 and 23, but I'm still a parent. Once a parent, always a
That's
parent.
That's right. Okay. Well, absolutely. I didn't know they were. You have a lot that you are still parenting if they're that age. Believe me, I understand that. How do you find time for the PTA? And two questions, how and why?
Well, first of all, ma'am, with children, if you want to make their dream a reality, it's three critical things. They have to know who they are, their identity, have to know their culture, and be exposed to things if they want, you know, for a true education. And as far as time is concerned, as adults, as leaders, you have to prioritize time and say what is important. If your organization really helps out a lot, but you organize your time, you can get things done. And that's sort of what I've done throughout my life with organizations. You know, I've found organizations like you mentioned scouting, that
mm-hmm.
their purpose was to build young men, make them. So I did that, and then with PTA. Like I say, in every community in the United States, you have a school. And schools develop our kids. You know, kids make up 25% of our population in our future. So this is a great place, for me to serve and contribute back to make it better for our children.
Mm-hmm. It's such a logical, reasonable thing to do. And you have the gift to get in and organize. Did you have a platform or a particular goal that you had when you first became president of the National PTA? Did you have a vision or particular goals that were driving you?
Yes. The big three, and I'll talk about some specifics. The big three was leadership, advocacy, and membership. On the leadership,
mm-hmm.
On the leadership side, the most important thing that you can do, whether you're leading a church, a mosque, synagogue, a profit, nonprofit corporation, the most important element is leadership, because leadership
mm-hmm.
helps lead and chart the course of the organization. So that was the number one thing. So we've done some things like we tried to increase leadership training, provide leadership webinars, and just e-training for leaders to improve leadership. The second thing was advocacy. We provided more advocacy tools on how do you communicate with elected officials better? How do you mobilize your people to advocate? So we've made some very good progress in that particular area. And the last thing is membership. Over the last few decades, we've had a decline in membership. So we've really been focusing in on that. Now, we have had some increase in minority membership, but we've also had some decrease in the majority membership also. And but the school systems are changing. This past fall, 51% of the students entering kindergarten were African-American, Hispanic, or Asian. So it was 51% minority. So that's changing. And, again, we're trying to reach out more into those communities. So those were the big three. Three big things up into those frameworks were I wanted PTA to be more inclusive. So I actually went out and worked with people in recruiting people from different communities. As president, I had 120 appointments to make. So I did my absolute best to try to make it look like America. So I went to talent from all over the United States and placed them in critical places. And I tell people it's not enough just to sit on a committee or be in a leadership position. Are you included? Is your opinion and your input valued? So that was very important. So we've done very well there. Our board now is 55% minority, and this is the first time in PTA history. We actually have 10 African-American men. I mean, and half of them have advanced degrees and just doing a wonderful job. The second,
that's fantastic.
The second area is that of organizational effectiveness. Again, bringing in all of that talent to really look at a 118-year-old organization and say, how can we make things better? And we have made things better and moving in a very good direction there. And the last thing, of course, is database management. And I've had a lot of experience and training in that and really sharpening, you know, getting a great database in place, and that's still a work in progress, but it's making the organization better from a business perspective and moving us forward.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, I have about five people who've sent questions in,
sure.
And I'm going to
sure.
Give out the phone number again, but I want to ask you to address their questions, which is certainly
sure.
A primary one of mine. But the phone number for this evening is 347-945-7723. And I want to encourage those who are holding on to continue to hold, but I want to ask you to a little bit about, talk about, two things. One is PTA More, and explain what that is. And
sure.
Now 100 Black Men Incorporated, how that is coming in to support the PTA, National PTA.
Great. Well, PTA More, several years ago, and throughout our history, we've been really working hard to try to get more men engaged in the education process. So over the last couple of few years, we've been making alliances with men-based organizations like Watchdogs, which stands for Dads of Great Students, Strong Fathers, Strong Families, which, you know, do a lot of training on how men can be more effective as, you know, family leaders. Let's see, All Pro Dads with Tony Dungy, you know, sports type thing on getting men involved in school. And then last week on Wednesday, we signed a partnership for the 100 Black Men to join More. So we were very excited about that to get,
that's
again,
huge.
Get more after. Yeah, it was awesome. And so this is like a news flash. But again, we have 10 strong African-American men on the National PTA board, and then to get 100 Black men from, you know, and most of their membership is located in urban areas in our country. So I see a lot of great potential between us two because we have the same missions. We want to make sure that our kids have the opportunity. And I've done some things with 100 Black Men in the past, and I just think this is going to really continue to move us forward.
Well, congratulations on that. That is such a remarkable connection between PTA Moore and 100 Black Men Incorporated. This is probably the first public time we've been talking about it outside of the initial press release. I'm so excited, the PTA and what that can mean for men in general in terms of their relationship with the PTAs and supporting the educational process of their children, and what it will mean for African-American men throughout this country. How can, if people want to know more about this connection between 100 Black Men and the National PTA, how can they reach out to get more information?
Well, for us, you can go to our website, www.pta.org, and then just in the search engine, just type 100 Black Men, and you can see just the basic information. But as far as for gentlemen that may be involved with 100 Black Men out there, they will be doing some events around Black History Month, them in PTA, and also probably the Urban Child Month, which is in October. So we're looking at ways, you know, we have training that will be available for them, and we'll be doing joint events with them throughout the year.
So men can come and expect, for those who have the desire to serve,
will
have opportunities to be trained as well. Because sometimes people are a bit intimidated. They have the heart to do it, but they don't know quite what to do, how to use their talents, their gifts, and their interests. So
that
they can expect some support around that. And I want to encourage men who, you know, have that passion to help and serve to reach out. There's usually someone who will be able to meet you. I like what you said, where you are. You come in, the PTA is not above you. They're working with you, and they want to meet you where they are. I have someone who is on the line, Jim Contini, and if I'm not pronouncing your name correctly, Jim, please me out. But welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea show, and I invite you to share your comments or questions with our guests.
Thank you very much, and it is Jim Cantoni, so I'm grateful to be here. Give inspiration, get inspired. Congratulations, Mrs. Thornton, on your partnership, and thank you for leading the way to engage males.
Yes, sir.
In education and creating an environment where students are motivated to achieve.
Yes, sir.
I'm grateful for Reverend Althea, too, so thank you for that. I'm Jim Cantoni, friends of yours on Facebook and founder of Realizing Dreams in Glastonbury, Connecticut. I have a dream that we'll speak in the next week regarding 7 steps for empowering youth and empowering male engagement with predictors of success using a game I created that won the National Parenting Center Seal of Approval called Teamwork and Family Play, and that I transformed it into a little self-discovery life book that discovers what intrinsically motivates students to achieve. And I'm wondering if you'd accept an invitation to talk and explore really powerful ways to get more men involved and increase student motivation. Is that something that you'd consider within the next week or so?
Within the next week, so I'll be overseas for the next week. I'll fly out tomorrow. But my email address is othorntonpta.org. You can email me, and again, in the next couple of weeks, we could potentially put something together. But I will not be in town for the next week or so.
Yeah. Wonderful. And I see you're on LinkedIn. I'll send you an LinkedIn invitation. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine. That would be wonderful.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you again,
Jim.
And may God continue to bless both your abilities and activities as his servant. I'm totally grateful. And safe
thank
in his flying travels.
Thank you. Well, I just know that, Jim, and all the listeners to know, I've been trying to get Otha on this show. It's been a little bit of work. He is a busy man, and we're thankful for your busyness, Otha. Don't stop going all the places you're going and doing all the things that you're doing. But please know that you can, all listeners, you can certainly reach him, and he will get back to you if you send him an email. Otha, would you give that email address one more time?
othorntlon@pta.org. othorntlon@pta.org.
Fantastic. Please reach out to him that way. What I'm sure you probably hear lots of people who come with ideas, and certainly the national PTA needs ideas, and so do local PTAs. Need ideas, and so I'm sure you'd encourage people to also reach out to their local PTAs and share their new ways of doing things and share their ideas.
That is correct, and I usually do that depending upon the state. Like, he's in Connecticut, I will link him up with the state president there, and you know, and the state leadership, and you know, to share those ideas also.
Right. And very good. That's one of the things that we know we often forget how important and how practical and pragmatic it is in our local PTAs to go to our state PTAs and know that these good ideas spread and, you know, serve so many people. And it's often very difficult to we overlook how powerful and important that is. Can you share with me a little bit about, or if the PTA is doing anything about some of the major issues that we're facing as a nation, dealing with things like police violence and bullying? What are some of the things the national organization is doing, if anything in particular, or how have you seen PTAs throughout the country address certain issues like police violence and bullying?
Okay, well, a couple of things on bullying. We have a program called Connect to Respect, and it's an anti-bullying program. We actually have curriculum, and we're actually using that in school. And we've had, you know, recent research show that that anti-bullying program and others around the country has made a difference in helping reduce bullying. We also have done some things with Rachel's Promise around the country. That was the Columbine shooting in Colorado. We've mm-hmm. worked with that family, and they've done positive work around the country and in that particular area. Now, a lot of people don't know, but PTA, we actually were the took the lead back in the 20s and 30s on juvenile justice. And we still have an active program. We encourage the legal system through national PTA and our units, states and local units, to, again, not imprison children with adults, and to also establish a system to give kids an opportunity. And we still have an active juvenile justice program today, and we still work with the Justice Department in executing that now. So again, we try to help create the conditions for kids so they don't have to have negative interactions and interfaces with the police. Mm-hmm. Again, our focus is the child and making opportunities for the child. Now, one thing we are doing. We are dealing with a matter called seclusion and restraint. A study was done and released last summer, well, February, and then released again in June by Attorney General Holder and Secretary Duncan from the Department of Education around, you know, disproportionate punishment of children of color. So this particular restraint and seclusion is actually a position that we're taking up. It's a resolution that we're taking up at convention in Charlotte, North Carolina next month. So I'm looking forward to that. So we're looking at these matters and trying to get, you know, policies, positions, and things in place to help us counter this. And again, the way we do that is through policies and laws and positions. So that's what we're doing in those areas.
That's fantastic. How does this information filter down to the local PTA? It's been a little while since I was really active, not long, with the PTA in the District of Columbia. And that information wasn't filtering down to a local PTA. What can the PTA president or the members of the PTA do to access this information that you're sharing now?
Well, basically, you can go to our website, pta.org, and you can go under our advocacy section on our website, and it has all this information. We have a about PTA, we have an advocacy section, news and events at school. As a matter of fact, bullying, connect to respect, who I was talking about. If you go to at school, you can pull up bullying, connect for respect, and get a lot of information on it. Information for families, for PTA leaders, and every member has, well, you know, it's available for all members. I can't say all members have access, but and then again, we send out regular communications. Some people choose to opt out. Some people opt in. The ones that that receive the communications, we send those out on a regular basis to our members.
Well, I'm going to be sharing this with some of my colleagues who are ministers, because those are the kinds of things that we can mention in the context of receiving information out in our churches. So the pastors who are listening, those who are leaders in their churches, know that if you're not active with the PTA, you can certainly share this with those who you know are active and encourage them. Or you can simply go to a PTA meeting and share the information after you've gone to the website. I have a question here about issues of sexuality, and is the PTA dealing with information for our children and youth about sexuality, or are you dealing with topics like racism as well?
Yes. Remember, we focus on every child. Every child's, should entitled to a healthy life, a safe life. So no matter from what walk of life a child comes from, it is our responsibility to make sure that they, that as a child, they are, given, afforded the opportunities to excel and do well. You know, given that opportunity. So all children. That's not excluding any child. As far as race is concerned, I mean, that is one of the blemishes of our nation. I mean, I'm a soldier. I fought in combat, for our nation. But that is one of the things that we constantly deal with. And with the education system, I often tell people that education wasn't intended for everyone. I mean, in some states, the southern states, for instance, it was illegal to teach groups of people to read and write. And we still have those challenges today, although it's not against the law anymore, but that still has an impact today. So, as I mentioned to you earlier, it's so important that we in the community do our best to, teach kids about their identity, their culture, and expose them to things so they can break, some of the things that have happened to us throughout history.
Absolutely. Thank you, Osa, for going through that. That's so important for us to hear and rethink and determine how we can respond today, despite the fact that the doors are open legally in so many ways for all people, but there are certain prevailing practices and behaviors and societal norms that close the doors for so many. So someone is sending in the question. I don't remember the statistics. Talk a little bit about, they heard just part of what you said, about the that first PTA that you worked with, and you changed the numbers so quickly. So just tell that story again, because it's a powerful story of hope and possibility for the average parent who is walking into a PTA or walked into a PTA in September, you know, the first meeting, and there were so few people there that they were discouraged, and maybe they didn't go back, or they continued to go and it stayed the same. But let them know that you have firsthand experience. So share that story one more time.
Well, like I said, I went to the first meeting. Well, before I say this, generally people like order and predictability, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, and again, a lot of parents today, they're working. The demographics have changed. So you have to respect people's time, and that's something that we've pushed in PTA for the last couple of years. Respect people's time. People are working. Like in the meetings I attended, we did a survey to all the parents that we have email addresses and said, when is the best time to have a meeting? At that particular school, the average parent says 6:30 Thursday afternoon, so evening. So that's what we did, and that helped us increase the numbers. So we really have to be respectful of time, get people in, get them out, and then we connected meetings to events. Like, for instance, you know, October was College and Career Night. We had a college fair, so we would schedule a meeting 1 hour, you know, Thursday night before that Thursday. So we get the parents in, they do come to the meeting, then go to the college fair, then we have Christmas concert, same thing. So you have to make it relevant. And as a parent, I tell parents, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. People at schools and life, they will make decisions about your children because you're not there. So, you know, we bring them into this world. We have a responsibility and an accountability. I love this teacher. She said this one time. A mom jumped on the teacher about her child and da-da-da. And then the teacher said, ma'am, I cannot do in 1 hour with your child that you haven't done in 16 years. So we have a responsibility and accountability as parents. And don't get me wrong, I know there's some systematic things that we have to deal with, but we need to do everything with our power. Now, my mother, we did not have transportation, so she could not come up to the school. But the most powerful thing my mom did for me as a kid is when I can't get out of school, I went to work to help support the family. When I got home every night at 9 or 10 o'clock, the first question she would ask, she would greet me, here's dinner, and then she would say, how was school today? She did that every day. And that made a difference. It showed me that she cared, and that's what we have to do as parents.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is such a fantastic story, and I will never forget to tell parents that if they're not at the table, they are on the menu. And that makes it plain to me. And that's what we have to try to do at times when we're encouraging parents, that it makes it plain. You know, we're at, I wanted to talk and encourage people in September, but we'll have to have you back on in some way to encourage people in September to get involved with their PTA. What can parents do during this, you know, summer is right here. What can they do for their children? How can they, is there any way they can interface with their schools or their PTAs during the summer? Or is this a downtime in every way? Do you have any advice or encouragement for you know, how to look at their role as parents and hopefully members of PTA?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I have a couple of things before I forget. I highly recommend. We have the National PTA Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, which I think is a 7-8 hour trip from D.C. We have about 15 people coming from D.C. this summer. But it's June the 26th through June the 28th, and it's going to be a very powerful convention. So I encourage any folks that can come to come out to the convention. And, again, just go to pta.org and type in convention. Now,
okay.
What can they do for the summer? My recommendation for parents, and this happens in sometimes the middle to upper middle class families, but it doesn't happen sometimes in the lower socioeconomic communities. But it happened in my home. Every summer, my mom made us sign up for the reading program for the summer. So all of us had to read so many books during the summer because kids lose some during the summer because they're not reading. And some communities, they read, they go to museums. And we may not have that opportunity, but we need to find opportunities for our children to keep themselves mentally engaged. It doesn't necessarily sit in a classroom or but something, reading and exploring and exposing kids to different things during the summers.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Is it too late, do you think, for parents to get their children into camps, or are there still camp advantages, opportunities for kids at this time, do you think?
No, it's not. It's not too late. And parents should have to look around. I mean, again, we have a responsibility, and I know some parents may be working 2 and 3 jobs, but again, we have to take care of our children by just doing our best to look for these opportunities. I mean, you can look at rec centers for opportunities. I'll give you a perfect example. One of my fellow board members that I appointed to the board is Dr. Calvin Mackey down in New Orleans. He runs a summer STEM program, science, technology, engineering, mathematics program, free down in New Orleans every Saturday, where kids come to the park. And he, like, I was down there 3 weeks ago doing Rocket Day, and he brought NASA in, he brought Boeing, and he had the kids build paper rockets and bottle rockets, and they teach them all about science while they're having fun. So there are all type of programs around the country like that, but the parents just have to look and really seek them out and get their kids engaged in them.
Absolutely. I know one summer I had, my summer's always in various camps, but that summer, because we had just moved, we had not gotten him in the same camp. So I told him he had just enrolled in mommy camp, and he kept saying, "What is mommy camp?" I said, "You will find out." And so I got together with a few of the neighbors, and we planned activities for the children throughout the summer, which, of course, as you said, they're wonderful things that can be very inexpensive and accessible to almost everyone. Museums, swimming pools, we had art classes for the children, you know, just a few kids in our homes. And we created a camp experience for them, including swimming lessons, you know, because most people can find that at local schools or at the Y, there are some, you know, that are affordable or no cost at all. You can find swimming lessons and things like that that can be lots of fun. It takes a little bit of creativity and some planning and discussion, and you can create experience for your children during the summer. But I fully support, and I want to encourage people to rethink what you said about a reading program. The local libraries have wonderful reading programs during the summer, and many of the schools send home a list of books for kids to read during the summer. So there are all these wonderful activities. Now, how much planning goes on during the summer for the local PTAs? Do you think, is there a fair amount of planning that goes on during the summer?
Yes, ma'am. Generally, and this is just, let's say different PTAs have different cycles, but the average PTA is now May. So what's going on now, May and June, they're finishing up school, they're getting their new officers in, they're getting the initial calendar for next year together. Then next month, we have right now probably around 1,000 or so delegates from around the country coming to our convention, for national convention, for training and seeing new things going on in PTA. And then around July, August time frame, they usually meet again, and then back to school start in August. So by that time, they, you know, sort of pull things together and start, you know, getting new members in August. Let me say this before I forget, ma'am. Another thing, I think our faith groups really need to take a role in addressing the needs of our children during the summer. I was at Liberty City Church of Christ down in Savannah, Georgia, a decade ago when I was worshiping there. And I was the deacon of education there, and we actually did a program where we purchased 10 computers for the church. We bought software programs for reading and mathematics, and we did arts and different things like that, and took our kids to museums because we said, because we asked questions like, okay, we have a church van, it moves on Sunday and in other activities, why can't we do this during the week? Because church buildings are generally empty, or, you know, or mosques or synagogues or where places of worship, but our faith leaders really need to get engaged with our, you know, with our kids and providing opportunities for them also.
Oh, wonderful. So it's a little bit more than vacation Bible school. We can come up with creative things that we can do within our community for the children that are there, not just our church members. It can be broader than that. It can be those in our neighborhood to reach out there. And they're very, like what you said, they are not real complicated, planning for this. You're not saying develop a curriculum. That's going to take a lot of time. But they're fun things to do. Children need to stay engaged with in terms of social development. And lots of other things they need to learn during the summer is only learn about nature and how to swim, going to the park, sharing time, the wonderful ways children develop. So I'm standing with you on that to encourage our faith leaders or other community leaders to do, if not everything this summer, do something. Try to do something. Offer a kind of a final message to our listeners.
Okay. Well, first off, thank you for having me. And like I said, again, our children are our future. They make up 25% of our population. And that's 25% of our future. And as I mentioned, if you're not at the table with your children, you and your children are on the menu. And we want to provide the best opportunities for you. PTA is a wonderful vehicle to do that. And I ask that people go out and join PTAs and take an active role. Don't just be don't just belong, be an active member. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for addressing so many issues that parents have, that my callers have, my listeners have about PTA and about you. People are incredibly enthusiastic about your leadership. They are very thankful for your new vision, for your organization, and the plethora of gifts and skills that you bring to the table. So we know you're here for us, you're here for our children, and we thank you. And the door is open for you to come back again.
Well, thank you so much, and may God bless you, and y'all have a wonderful evening here.
Yes. Well, beloved, I am just enormously excited, all a Twitter, about having this opportunity to speak with Otha Thornton. I want you to remember the name, Otha Thornton. You heard him speak out tonight, and you'll be hearing more from this man among men in the months and years to come. But I am most thankful for what he's doing today. He is a right now kind of person, passionate, committed, and has the ability to inspire. I'm inspired tonight. The notes that I see coming in show that others are inspired by him. And we're thankful that he's expressed that he is clear about the purpose of for educational success of our children and the need to promote parent involvement in our schools. It's that simple, and it's that complex. The majority of us are all too quick to say children are our future, and many of us would wax sentimental and be ready to sing a verse or two of the greatest love of all. I can hear a lot of you thinking, ready to sing right now, greatest love of all. But we need people to share the love in pragmatic and practical ways. Mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunties, men and women who are willing to teach the children well and really help show them all the beauty they absolutely have inside. I believe in public education. A couple of weeks ago, a friend visited my church, and to my surprise, what she talked about when she stood to say she was happy to worship with us, she mentioned my devotion to children, and she reminded me that I was the president of a PTA before I even had a child. You see, there's a place for all of us. You don't have to be a parent or a grandparent to care, to truly care about the children. Our children and our nation's schools are facing a myriad of grave concerns, and they need us to open doors and create new avenues of support. We don't all have to be Arthur Thornton. We don't have to do what he's doing, but we're all obligated to do something in some way. Yes, the children are our future, and they are our assignment right now. Together, we can pass the test and earn an A by doing what we're called to do today. I want to thank again Arthur Thornton for his time, for his skills, his gifts, his passion, and devotion to children. Next week, beloved, Curtis Watkins will be here with Real Voices USA. Until next week, rev up, accelerate, and energize your life.